Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast here on Saturday, April the 9th. I am Jamil Graham. I am your host. Alchemy of Light seeks to focus on the evolution of consciousness, how we think and feel and open our hearts and connect to our souls. And today I am so proud and grateful to welcome two sisters who have taken this on in the most natural and healthy way. We could all learn so much from them. Will you please welcome Tina and Tilde? Hi. Tilde.
Hi, pardon me.
Let me try that again.
Thanks for having us on your
Tilde.
Show. We're looking forward to sharing with you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming. Tilde and Tina, would you like to, trusting you'll figure out who should talk on what? And I wonder if you would just start with telling us a little bit about how your book, A Book of Insight, was brought to you, and bring us up to speed with the process in your own spiritual evolution that this book has also welcomed.
Thank you. This is Tina, and I'm the oldest, so I guess I'll speak first. it actually started in our when we were quite young. We had moved across the country from Toronto to Vancouver. We're up here in Canada. And we lived with our grandparents for a couple of years beforehand, and I was 13 at the time, and I discovered a Ouija board at my grandparents' home, and it had belonged to one of my aunts. And at that time, I had no idea what a Ouija board was. I'd never heard of one. I'd never seen one before. But, of course, there were instructions on the back of it. And when Tilde got older and she became a teenager, I started working with the board alongside of my sister. And, you know, as teenagers do, they ask silly questions that don't pertain to anything spiritual. And slowly, bit by bit, we began to get responses from the Ouija board. And as time, you know, moved forward and we got older, our communications with Ouija took on a different tone. And we were introduced to three spirit guides, our three spirit guides. And flash forward to 2004, during one of our semi-regular sessions with our spirit guides, we started a session and they delivered to us a page on meditation. And we thought, wow, this is really cool. We've never received such information like this all of a sudden. And at that time, we were told that we had made an agreement with each other before we burst onto this planet to deliver information or to be messengers, and that our guides felt that the time was now right for them to deliver messages for us. And they told us that this was the first page of the first chapter of our first book. Well, we didn't take it very seriously, so we put it on the back burner for 3 years. And 3 years later, we were having a conversation about that session we had about that book we were supposed to channel. And we said to each other, well, let's try another session and see what happens. So we tried another session, and sure enough, they continued delivering the information on meditation. At that point in time, we were told that we were going to deliver a book. It was going to be called A Book of Insight. It was going to have 16 chapters, and it was going to be information that they were going to deliver to us that they wanted us to publish for mankind. And so we went with it, and sure enough, the book was delivered to us, as they said, 16 chapters. 16 wonderfully enlightening chapters, and we've published it, and our lives since then have taken a turn in a direction that we never had imagined we would take. So there you have it in a nutshell, sort of.
Would you like to share some of the effects or how this, what is this change that you've experienced since?
Well, it's certainly been a change of mindset. Tina and I were always interested in the metaphysical world and the spiritual world, but I'll tell you, once these messages started coming through to us, not only did we gain greater knowledge and enlightenment, I guess you could say, but we also started having interesting experiences. Since childhood, we've had experiences, but now these were on a whole new level, and you know, I found that suddenly I'm having out of body experiences, and I'm having almost like bolts of energy rush through my body unexpectedly, and so it really affected us in very almost, you know, strange ways, you could say, ways we really didn't expect. But the messages they delivered were messages that I think everyone can really relate to. That was the whole point of this book, was to convey information to people and answer questions that they've had at some point in their lives. And basically, A Book of Insight reads like a question and answer dialogue between ourselves and our spirit guides. And what we did was basically we asked the fundamental questions that we all have about life and reality, things like what happens to us when we die? Do we cease to exist, or do our souls go on? Do we have souls? Is heaven real? Is hell real? Is that a place that actually exists? What about God? What is God? Is God real? What is our relationship to God? And how about other intelligent life forms out in the universe? Are we all that exists, or is there more out there? So we asked, you know, all kinds of questions. They think that most of us have always wanted to know, but you know, where do you find the answers to these types of questions? Some of these questions are, you know, you're not going to get your answers from science. So we went to otherworldly beings for our answers, you could say, and they really delivered.
Tilde, would you like to share some of the changes that have impacted your life since the publishing of A Book of Insight?
Well, that was me just speaking, so I'm going to let Tina take this one now.
You'll never. That's fine. Okay, this is a test. Thanks, Tilde. Tina, would you like to share with us some of the experiences? This isn't the first time that's going to happen, I can tell.
Yeah, we confuse radio hosts all the time. That's just funny. So, yes, it's interesting the experiences that I had. The summer that we started channeling the book, sometimes I have sleep paralysis, and usually during those moments of sleep paralysis, I find it very hard to move or roll over my bed. And this one day I was on the couch sleeping, I had the sleep paralysis come over me, but this time I forced myself to roll over and I forced myself to open my eyes. And I rolled over onto my back and looked up onto the ceiling and saw a number of blue orbs that were circling above me. And it's really interesting because these blue orbs, I could sense that they had consciousness and I could sense that they were observing me. And as I watched them circling above me, they suddenly reformed within a circle and they went towards the ceiling and disappeared through the ceiling. So I've had those kind of experiences happening to me once we started channeling the book. I guess you can say that my mind and my soul opened and I started perceiving other dimensions. And I think maybe they were our spirit guides, maybe they were interdimensional beings, but it was certainly a signal to me that something was changing within me. Those kind of experiences we were having. More intuitive awareness and opening of my intuitive abilities, those kind of experiences. And it's interesting because I believe that we all have the ability to experience those kind of occurrences in our life. We just have to open our minds and open our hearts and engage in meditation, which is one thing that our guides really impressed upon us, is the importance of meditation. Because this will help to open our third eye.
Would you please share with us in a couple of things. Your process with the Ouija board and how it became your ally and your tool for connecting to your spirit guides on such an intimate and clear level, and in the process, of course, allowed you to gain confidence in your own spiritual connection. And the there are a couple of things that I wonder if you would touch on about what it takes to sit down at the Ouija board, and how do you handle any feelings of reserve? What are the requirements for a person? I want to go to the Ouija board, and I want to connect with my spirit guides. I want to open my soul and my mind to receive clear channeling. What do I have to do? Do I just go buy one and sit down? I mean, what are the steps that you think are important for people pursuing to open their experience of soul and psyche?
Well, I can say the first step is, yes, go buy one and find someone that you trust. Tilly and I, you know, we're sisters. We trust each other. We know we're not going to play tricks on each other, because trust with your partner is very important. And the thing to remember, too, because there are a lot of negative stories about the Ouija board, people that have experienced the Ouija board and something negative has happened. What people need to realize is that the Ouija board is just a piece of wood. It's a tool. It's a divination tool. And it's not the board that's opening the portal. It is the human being that's opening the portal, because this is how powerful we are as human beings. And we don't realize our power, so we blame, the objects around us that open these portals. One thing to remember is that the human body is comprised of almost 75% water. Water is a conductor. We have minerals in our bodies that are conductors. We have a crystalline substance within our bones, and crystals are receivers and transmitters of information. And as you mentioned to me, we also have crystalline substance in our blood, and that is also a receiver and transmitter of information. So when you put all that together, you can come to the realization that the human body not only houses the soul in this three-dimensional journey while we're alive on this plane, but that the human body is also a receiver and transmitter of information for the human soul. And that human body that receives and transmits information is not for the purpose of receiving and transmitting information on a three-dimensional level. That's what our brains, our tongues, and our voice boxes are for. But our human body is a receiver and transmitter of information on the soul ethereal level for the human being. So we have two modes of information transference, and the one that's on the soul level is the one that, you know, we can utilize the Ouija board for, divination tools for. So the important thing to do, and this is one thing our guides taught us, is to meditate before you have a session, because through meditating you will raise your vibrations. And our guides, they lower their vibrations, and that way we meet halfway. The next thing we do is we say a prayer of protection, and we will share our prayer. Our prayer is simply this: in the name of God, we ask for white light, love, and protection, and we ask that only positive and loving guides come through to us with messages. We ask this in God's name. So we're invoking the name of the source, the higher power, God, whatever you want to name that higher power. We're invoking its protection, and we are clarifying our intent. And our intent is to connect only with positive, loving guides and spirits. And when you clarify your intent, the universe rushes to deliver to your intent. And therefore, it's like making a telephone call. If you have the number of the person you want to call, you call that person's number, you know you're going to get that person on the line. So this is the process we go through when we play or utilize the Ouija board. And anybody can do this with positive results. And Tilde and I, we did this with amazing results, because not only were we able to connect with our spirit guides and develop a relationship with them, but we're able to download and receive information from a spiritual realm, and information that is so amazing, so loving, so beautiful, that, of course, we had to publish it and share it with the human race. Now, what we want everybody out there to know is that we all have spirit guides, and our spirit guides are there to help keep us on our path, the path that we chose before we came onto this planet, before we burst onto this dimension. And they want to have a relationship with us. But of course, as in Star Trek, you know, they follow the prime directive. You know, you don't interfere unless you're asked for. So we, as humans, we need to ask our spirit guides for their help. We need to ask for their connection. And that's all we have to do, is we just need to ask. And they will lovingly guide us, and they will lovingly try and connect with us. And through meditation, this is another way that we can help to connect with our spirit guides and to receive insights from them. And the insights that you receive from your spirit guides will be through your intuition, through your heart, through your soul. And, you know, we advise people to connect with their spirit guides, to attempt to do this. And there's nothing wrong with using a Ouija board if it's utilized properly.
And would you share with us about meditation? How would you define meditation? There is a lot of different ideas about meditation, from sort of rigid ideas that you must have, you know, various sundries of candles and lights and pictures and blah, 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 and then other kinds of meditation, or just walking on the beach. Would you clarify for us what you mean when you say meditation?
Well, meditation is simply being in a state of awareness. And what our guides tell us is that, you know, there are no strict, rigid rules to meditation, and to just follow the process that works best for you. So for some people, it may be something as simple as going for a walk through the woods, being in nature. But as you're going for your walk, just be in a state of total awareness. Be aware of your surroundings. Be in tune with your surroundings. For myself, I prefer to just sit in a room where I've dimmed the lights. I have a quiet setting. There's no one around to interrupt me or to disturb my meditation. And I basically just sit cross-legged, close my eyes, and I focus on my breathing. And I'll focus on my in-breath, focus on my out-breath, and I just try to keep my focus there. And what will happen is you'll have thoughts that start to cross through your mind, you know, just meandering thoughts. This is just basically the clutter of the day. Let the thoughts wander through, but as soon as you become aware of them, you know, let them go as well. And you'll find that as you keep focusing on your breath, you'll have fewer and fewer of these random thoughts going through your mind. And eventually, with practice, you'll get to a point, you know, if you're lucky enough, it takes a lot of practice, but you'll get to a point where you're just in a state of being. You're just in a state of being here now. Nothing else. There are no distractions. There's no random thoughts going through your mind. You're just in a state of total presence. And that really is the key of meditation. That's really the point, is just to be in a total, complete state of awareness. And this is something you can practice throughout the day. Take 5 minutes throughout the day where you just practice being aware. You know, you don't have to sit down cross-legged with your eyes closed meditating, but just focus being aware of your surroundings, not just on a physical level, but on an ethereal, spiritual level as well. And what that also does for you, you know, aside of helping to keep you in a calm, relaxed state, it helps you to develop your intuitive abilities as well, because we all have intuitive abilities. As spiritual beings, that's just a natural part of who we are. That's an inherent quality within all of us. So once you start practicing meditation and just taking those moments throughout the day to be in a state of awareness, you're also developing your intuitive or psychic abilities. And, you know, this is for anyone who's interested and wants to develop those abilities. It's absolutely possible to do this. But it just, like anything else, it takes practice. It takes time and effort and practice to do it. So meditation really is a simple process. It doesn't have to be difficult or complicated. No, and you don't have to pay anyone to, you know, give you a mantra. You don't have to do anything esoteric. You just need to, as Tilly was saying, just find a quiet space and be with yourself or be with nature.
And when you are in the meditative state, and you mentioned intuition, can you share with us more about intuition and how this part of ourselves connects? How do we know it's our intuition, and how do we get to know the myriad of voices in our head? In our culture, we have so many sounds of medias and, you know, all this stuff going on. How do you find that intuition and recognize that voice that's your intuition, and not the whatever from the television or the whatever from the, you know, the radio program you listen to, or, you know what I mean? How do you define your intuition?
Well, the important thing to do, and this is one thing our guides told us, is to be aware of the stillness of our souls, because this is where we will hear the voices of our guides, and this is where we will hear the voices of our intuition. A lot of times, there's a separation between ego and intuition, and a lot of times it's our ego that talks to us, and our ego is that part of us that is our sense of survival. The ego's purpose is survival at any cost. And a lot of times our ego likes to be in charge, and our ego is always that part of our mind, that chatter that's inside our mind that we can never turn off. It's incessant. But what I do when I want to check my intuition or check where the inner Tina, dwells, is I do a body check. And when I do a body check, I check my heart. How do I feel inside my heart, as opposed to what's my mind telling me? And what our guides say to us is they say, be aware of the stillness of your soul, for this is where you will hear our voices as we guide your direction in life. And I think that's the best way to do it, is just do a body check, do a heart check, because your heart has its own voice. Your heart has its own mind, and your heart, actually, we went to a Greg Braden lecture, and one thing he says is that when the baby is developing, the heart develops first. The heart starts beating before the brain, and that's very telling, that our heart would be the first development. So I say, check your heart. How do you feel inside your soul? Do you feel centered, or do you feel off-center? Usually when I feel off-center, something's not right. And when I do a body check and it feels right, that's when I know it is right. So you have to learn to turn off your mind chatter, drop into your heart, and listen to your soul. Listen to what your heart's trying to tell us, and this is where your intuition is. Yeah, usually the voice of ego is that fearful voice. It's the voice that's always asking, what if? Well, what if you do this and that happens, or what if that happens? It's usually fear-based. And, you know, sometimes you need your ego, because there are fears that are very real and very valid. But oftentimes the ego is dealing with the what-if fears that are really don't hold validity. Whereas when the voice of intuition is speaking to you, it just feels right. You know, you can just sense on an inner level that it is the voice of intuition. And it's something that really comes to you with practice as well, because that's a wonderful thing about meditation, is it helps you to decipher the difference between the ego voice and the voice of intuition. So that's probably the real key, is just to take a little bit of time, even 15 minutes a day, to meditate. And with practice, you'll learn to tell the difference between the voice of the ego and the voice of your intuition. And one thing I'd like to add to what Tilde's saying is that our guides tell us that our intuition is the part of our soul that is the direct line of communication with the source. And the source is what our guides refer to. We call it God, all that is. Our guides refer to the prime creator as source. And so that's very interesting that, you know, our intuition is part of our soul that is the direct line of communication with the source. And we receive download from the source through our intuition. So, and that's why it's so important to be connected to your intuition and, you know, do a body check when you need to answers in life. Do a body check. Do a heart check. Does it feel right? And if it feels right, it is right. If it feels wrong, then you need to listen to that, because our intuition is the radar that guides us through life. And what our guides tell us is that just as a ship has radar, We also have a system of checks and balances that serve as our radar, and that is called our intuition. So our intuition is a very real and valid source of direction for us. And a lot of people, you know, give more importance to their logical mind than they do to their intuitive self. And really, it should be reversed. We should give more importance to our intuitive self, because that is the part of us, the soul part of us that guides our lives. And if we listen to us, our intuition, we can stay out of trouble. We can be guided in the positive direction in our life. We can make positive decisions for our lives. That's how important our intuition is to us. And this is one thing that our guides really impress upon us in the Book of Insights.
Thank you very much. Do you have experiences telepathic without the Ouija board with your spirit guides?
We have at times. Very interesting. Tildy and I have both asked our guides for proof. And we've both received proof. I know that Tildy has heard her spirit guides whisper in her ear. There have been times when, for instance, one weekend I was doing a lot of meditation, and for some reason, I was getting a headache and during this weekend, and I didn't know why I was getting this headache. And I asked the question, you know, I've got a headache. What can I do for my headache? And no sooner had I asked the question that I received the answer, the download, and the answer was drink more water. I was dehydrated. I didn't even realize it, and that's why I was getting a headache. So I started drinking more water, and my headache went away. These are the kind of experiences that you can have when you start meditating. You will receive answers when you ask the questions. And this is what we are all capable of.
That's a great example, because that shows the interconnection between the body and the meditation, the process of quieting and soul-centering. We'll call it that. Actually like that, soul-centering. And then asking, which is very important, mm-hmm. with an open mind, and then receiving the information. And in one fell swoop, so there was no it was just part of the whole process. So the spirit guides themselves, it seems they're always there. And they're always available.
There.
And so it's possible then that our process, with or without a Ouija board, in quieting ourselves and being receptive, is also something we can develop and grow within ourselves to sort of make that a possibility in happening all of our lives. Do you have there's so many things. I have to credit this book. I'd like to focus on the Book of Insight and things in it that people would find. And I just want to say that last year when I read this book the first time, and now I'm almost finished reading it the second, I read the first chapter on meditation, and coming through this major period that I am now coming back into the world, I've been a meditator off and on for many, many years, tried this, tried that. And then as I was pushing my way back into the world last year, I was pushing a little too hard, and I sort of took a fall. And this book came back to me, and I heard meditate, and I have been meditating ever since, every day, since April last year, actually since May last year. And I cannot say enough about the quality of presence this practice has brought me, the calm that it has brought me, the ability to check in really quick, you know, with my body stuff going on, because we're not put back together just yet. We're getting there. And I just want to thank you. This book has made a difference in my life. And so I would like to share what parts feel right with our good listeners. Parts of the book, you mentioned about the checking in with spirits who've crossed over and things. And this is a big question that a lot of people have, and also can bring a lot of comfort to people who are in the grieving process or maybe even receiving messages from their deceased loved ones they don't recognize as a sign or something. Could you share with us about the book of a book of insight, the things, the gems, the absolute gems in here that people could look forward to?
Well, I think one question we all have is the question of, well, what happens to us when we cross over? You know, that's sort of the big unknown, and the one thing that, you know, I think most of us have a lot of fear around that because we just don't know what to expect, and some of us, perhaps through religion, have been taught that, well, if you cross over, there's a chance you could go to heaven, or there's a chance that you could go to this terrible place called hell. And, you know, a lot of people just don't know what to believe because it's the great unknown. But what our guides told us is that, first of all, there's nothing to fear in death, in crossing over. They've told us that it's a very natural process, and it's basically just a birth into another reality. It's when we're born, you know, when we cross from spirit world into the physical realm, when we're born here, that's a birthing process. When we cross over, that's just another birthing process, and it's very natural. It's similar to going to sleep and suddenly you just, without even realizing that you cross over into your dream state, and it's that simple, and there's nothing fearful about it at all. And what they tell us is that it's actually a very, very beautiful and joyous experience, and it's like nothing we can imagine. And one thing they did say to us was, because they spoke about reincarnation as well and the reality of reincarnation, and they said to us, remember, you have born and died many times over, and here you are to talk about it. You're still here alive and doing well.
I would like to add to what Tildy's saying, and I'm just looking at a beautiful passage in the book right now about crossing over, and I would just like to read this passage for the listeners because I find it so beautiful and touching. And what one of our guides, Demna, says is, life is a journey, and when it is over, you return back to your home base. This home is the home you left behind when you embarked on this journey of your current self. When you leave this earth, you will return to this home. You are sometimes met upon death by a friend or relative who guides you out of your body, and you may not know that you have just died because it is so real and there is no pain or discomfort associated with this passing. Others may find themselves at once thrust out of their bodies where they might be disoriented and confused. You will be drawn to a light, and this light is heaven calling you home. Make sure you understand this, for you will all come home one day. We are here to greet you, and there will be many friends and relatives you knew who will be anxiously and lovingly awaiting your arrival. To us, it is cause for much celebration. We are happy to have you back home. And that's how they explained the crossing over to us, and it's such a beautiful explanation of it. And it's quite loving to know that we have friends and relatives who are waiting for us. They find it cause for celebration to be reunited with us again. And that world, that other side, is actually a lot more real than this world. You know, this world is considered the dream state. The three-dimensional reality that we occupy right now is considered an illusion. It's like a stage play that we're all involved in. And at the end of the day, the stage play is over, and we go back to our true home.
So, what do you suppose we come here for then? I mean, what's the point of the stage play, especially when our stage is so full of travail?
Well, what we're told is that we are here to experience, and we're here to learn through our experiences. Basically, what our guides have told us is that each one of us is a fragment of God. We are all fragments of God having a human experience on behalf of God. We're all experiencing reality in its different forms and its different dimensions on behalf of the source. And
as fragments of God, because God or the source is the grand creator, we too are creators. So what we are doing here is we are creating our reality, whether we realize we're doing it or not. We are creating our personal reality and the reality of the planet en masse. We are experiencing that which we have created. And then through those experiences, we are learning. We're learning about ourselves. We're learning about reality. And, you know, we asked our guides, too, well, we talked about why is it that some people come here and they have these, you know, extremely, negative, almost devastating experiences. Like, why would anyone want to have a terrible experience? You know, one experience that came to mind was that of a person that is born into extreme poverty. Why would anyone want to take on that role as a way of learning a lesson? There has to be an easier way. And our guide said to us, well, from your perspective, you see that as something that's very tragic, but from our perspective, the greater consciousness understands the lessons and the learning there. The greater consciousness understands that this experience is really but a moment in time, and there's much learning that comes through this experience. And oftentimes, these experiences are meant to teach love to the people around us. They're meant to teach compassion to other people. Sometimes we take on our roles not just to teach ourselves lessons, but to teach the people around us lessons as well. And these roles that we take on are roles that we've all agreed upon before we birth into this reality. We understand the roles that we're choosing before we come here, and we realize on a greater level that what seems tragic to us on this level really is not tragic at all, as long if we learn the lessons that we were meant to learn. The tragedy is in not learning the lesson, in living out the experience and having missed the point. That's, if there's a tragedy, that's what the tragedy would be.
How there is a chapter there on belief systems and also about reality that mentions, continues this, and alternate realities in the book. And then the chapter on belief systems, I think, is really important to discuss as well, because just like the Ouija board for people who have the religion brought fear to the Ouija board, nothing else really. It's the, you know, the belief, the conditioned belief that something is negative, and then it gets programmed into us, and then is a big challenge for acquiring this understanding, a new understanding in period. So if we're in a place where we really want to have a new understanding, as the book instructs, and I quite agree, we first must visit our belief system. And would you please share in your interpretation how you what the belief system is? How did it get there, and how can we change that? And how does that work in our relationship with soul, with heart, with self?
Well, absolutely. What our guides tell us, you know, as children when we're born, we're pretty much a clean, open slate. And we are born as natural spiritual beings. And our guides tell us that by the time we're 1 year old, our belief systems become formed. And this is passed down to us by the adults in our lives through their belief systems. And their belief systems have been passed down to them. By the time we start going to school, we are introduced to a new set of belief systems, and we become entrenched into, I guess you could say, the matrix of the planet. Now, our belief systems are energetic. Everything is energy. Our thoughts have energy. And the energy of our thoughts, the energy of our belief systems, are magnetic in nature. Everything is magnetic in nature, and this is the energy of the source. Now, when we have beliefs, the magnetic nature of our beliefs will magnetize to realities that are compatible to our belief systems, and these realities are then attracted to us because of our belief systems, because of the magnetic nature of our beliefs and thoughts, and we then experience that as our reality. And that's really important to know, because if your beliefs are always negative in nature, you will draw to yourself negative experiences that are compatible with your negative belief systems. And if your belief systems are positive and loving in nature, then the universe will magnetize situations to you that are compatible to your positive and loving belief systems. So it is really important to understand this, because our guides say to us, do you ever notice how sometimes or many times people who are negative are always having negative experiences? Well, this is because of their negative thoughts and their negative belief systems. So it is really important for us to face our belief systems and analyze them if we want to change our lives, because in order to change your life, in order to attract positive situations into our lives, we need to go to the root. And that root is our thoughts and our belief systems, because, like I said, they have magnetic energy that attracts compatible reality to them. So our guides in the chapter on belief system gave us a beautiful exercise to help us identify our belief systems, to help us change those belief systems, and in changing those belief systems, this exercise will then help us attract new realities and new situations into our lives that are more compatible with our new belief systems. And this is really important for people to know and understand. Your beliefs create your reality. If you want to change your life, then change your beliefs. So in other words, change your mind and you will change your life. And this is so important, and it's just so simple.
Well, it's simple, and it is not, because the belief systems are not located in the chatter. This is where it goes one step deeper than that infamous law of attraction going around, which to me kind of misses this point. You can't just think in your mind chatter. You can't program your mind chatter to think about that, you know, we'll go simple here. Think about that new car when you believe that you're not going to get one, or whatever you believe, you're not going to develop the resources or whatever. You have to really go to another door of thought. Can you explain how you know what's the difference between all that chatter, that ego chatter, and the thought process? Do you know what I'm saying? Because the chatter is so loud, but that's all thinking, right? But there's a thought process?
Yes.
What's that?
Well, you know, that's, of course, the ego that doesn't want to let go. And, you know, it's good to have a little game to play with your ego, because your ego is afraid of being submerged or ignored. And sometimes you can make a deal with your ego and just say to your ego, I'm not going to ignore you. I just want to try this out, and you can try it out with me, and we can do it together. So, you know, it's almost like you have to play a psychological game with your ego, because your ego is a very real entity within yourself. The important thing, too, that our guides say to us, and you mentioned this with the law of attraction, you know, you can't just wish for a new car and suddenly you're going to get a new car. What our guides said to us is you cannot be an armchair participant. If you put out the thought, don't just sit back in your chair and wait for it to knock on the door. That's not how it's going to happen. And they gave us a very clear example within a book of insight. They said, for instance, let's say you want to become a real estate agent, but you don't know the first thing about selling houses or becoming a real estate agent. But put the thought out there, I want to become a real estate agent. Now be aware of what the universe is going to send you, because synchronistic events start to happen. For instance, you might be looking through the newspaper one day and you will find an ad in there for a course that's being offered on how to become a real estate agent. Well, that's the universe answering you, and you need to be aware of those little tidbits that will come your way once you put your intent out there. So you put out your intent that you want to become a real estate agent. You read in a newspaper, and this synchronous event happens. You see this ad. The universe is sending you this ad because you need to take the course. So that's how it works. You need to be an active participant in your new belief system. So you will see that ad. You will take the course, and that's the first step towards becoming a real estate agent. And as you continue in your partnership with the universe by engaging in these events that the universe is sending you, you will cease to be an armchair participant. You will begin to become an active participant with the universe and go forward into your new adventure of becoming a real estate agent. And this is how reality operates. So when you put out the intent, don't just expect the law of attraction to just suddenly, you know, give you a new car or give you that real estate license. You need to now become an active partner with the universe in your new endeavor. And this is how the law of magnetism works. You need to visualize it. You need to sense it. You need to live it within your mind. You need to take the steps to make it happen. And the universe will send you the events that you require.
And how does this translate to bigger things? Like, a lot of times I hear people say, and I'm one of them of sorts, that wants to see a change in our world, a change in our commonwealth and our spiritual understanding. And how would you apply these principles for achieving a common goal that you might not, you know, consciously share with people, but you see them in it just the same? You know what I mean?
Totally. I totally understand what you mean. A lot of times people who are asleep cannot take this information in big doses all at once. Mm. And I think the important thing to do is to introduce ideas slowly, a little bit at a time. Because if you go to somebody who is totally asleep and just, you know, give them all this information at once, they're going to look at you like, whoa, what planet are you from?
Yeah, they're just going to put up a wall because they can't synthesize the information. They can't assimilate it all. So just, you know, deal with them on a very basic level. You know, if you're dealing with someone who's never, you know, never had this type of mindset, they've never dealt with this type of information before, then just start with them on a very simple, basic level. You basically just have to spoon feed them in a way. But, I mean, eventually everyone, according to our guides, eventually everyone will awaken. It's part of our spiritual evolution. You know, we are all in that direction. And what our guides say to us is, you know, it's kind of like a rose bush. Think of a rose bush, and if you look at the rose bush, you have all these multitudes of buds on the rose bush, but they don't all bloom at the same time. You know, you may have three or four that bloom, and then suddenly two more bloom, and over time, you have all of the buds that have bloomed, and that's very much the way it is with human civilization as well, and with our spirituality. We're all moving in the same direction. We will all bloom, but we'll all do it in our own time. Mm-hmm. We all have our own individual lessons to learn, and some people may get it in this lifetime. Some people may not. Perhaps it'll be their next lifetime or the lifetime after that. But the good news is we are all headed in that same direction.
Mm-hmm. It's an evolutionary process. And the universe is awakening. Our universe, our planet is awakening. And, I mean, for those of us who are on Facebook, on social media, we see this. We are in communication with so many more people on this planet, and we are awakening on this planet. And the Internet has been one of the most wonderful tools of awakening because we can all communicate with each other. And that we can let each other know that we are all brothers and sisters, that we don't hate each other. We actually do love each other, and we do want to connect. So it is happening. It's, you know, maybe not happening as fast as many of us would love it to happen, but it is happening, and there is a struggle, you know, on our planet right now between those who are awakening and those who would want to keep us asleep. But it's going to be an evolutionary process, and in the end, we will prevail, because what our guides tell us is that mankind has not come this far just to cease to be or to revert back to, you know, its former self. Our spiritual awakening, our spiritual development is part of our genetic code, and it cannot be stopped, and it will prevail, and through evolution, we will become spiritually evolved beings, and that is definitely something for us all to look forward to.
That's really lovely. Well, the term spiritually evolved, I wonder if you could elaborate on that a bit with the understanding that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, the human soul encounter, the soul itself inhabiting the body makes the human battery, basically. And so we are a spirit having a human experience. And then the awakening is our awareness of our spirituality. How would you define what the awakening is if we're already spiritual beings, but we're going to spiritually awaken? How does that look?
Well, we're continuously evolving, just as, you know, as we are evolving as physical human beings. We go through a learning process. We start with the basics as children, and over time, we gain more and more knowledge and more intellect. Well, the same thing happens to us on a spiritual level as well, and what our guides have talked to us about in the book is that once we cross over, this progression continues even then on a spiritual level. They tell us that on the other side there are many levels of learning, just like we have levels of learning here. So, you know, physical reality is just one level of learning. It's a level of learning for us as physical beings, but also as spiritual beings. When we cross over, we will continue to keep learning as spiritual beings as well. And I think that's probably the simplest way I can explain it, is if you just think of how we progress as physical, intelligent beings on this planet through the many levels of learning that we have, and we learn through our experiences as well as, you know, through the schooling system, through, you know, what have you, the same thing happens with us when we cross over. Our spirit goes through different levels of learning as well.
Are you saying that we have to leave our body then to evolve spiritually? Or how do we evolve spiritually in our body?
Well, we are evolving spiritually in our body just through our experiences. We're here learning compassion. We're here learning love. We're learning how to love humanity, how to love one another, how to love ourselves. Our greatest lesson here is unconditional love. That is what our guides have told us, is that that is the one main lesson that we are all here to learn in this physical reality, is unconditional love. And you know, we have our emotions. We were given emotions as a way of helping us to learn that particular lesson.
And I'd like to add to what Tildy's saying, because one message that our guides really impressed upon us is that we are all fragments of the source having a human experience. In the beginning, the source existed as a singularity, and it wanted to understand itself and all of what it could encompass, and it exploded forth into the answer. And in exploding forth into the answer, it sent out fragments of itself, which our guides termed as source souls. And these source souls or oversouls sent out further fragments of themselves, and that is who we are. We are all fragments of the source having a human experience. And as fragments of the source having a human experience, our guides want us to know that we are all divine. Not only are we all divine, but we are source. And because we are source, we have direct energy or direct access to the energy of the source. And we can do great things through this connection because we are great, we are divine. And we all need to realize this. And part of our awakening will lead us to the realization of our divinity. We are source in human form. And we are all beautiful. We are all brothers and sisters. And the ultimate lesson of love is the one that we are here to learn, the ultimate lesson of unconditional love. And when we stop fighting with each other, when we stop being divided and conquered, we will realize that we are all one, that we are all one within the spirit of the source. We are all brothers and sisters. And our differences are not to be hated. Our differences are to be appreciated, embraced, and loved, because we are all here learning through various
schools of thought and knowledge in all the diversity that we can. And this is the beauty of it. We are not different. We are all the same inside, and we are all divine inside.
That's lovely. Thank you so much. We are at our closing time, so I would like to hand you both the opportunity to offer closing comments, your website, up-and-coming events we might like to know, as we close down this hour that went fast.
Yeah, well, absolutely. First of all, yes, I'd like to let everyone know that if they're interested in a copy of A Book of Insight, visit our website, and any copy that you order will be signed by both Tina and myself. We're available on Amazon, and I want to let everyone know that for a limited time, we've put our Kindle version of A Book of Insight on at a sale price at $4.99. So visit us at abookofinsight.com, and yeah, have a look through, and there you have it. And I'd like to add to what Tilde's saying. We are in the process of putting together a workshop on how to connect with your spirit guides through the Ouija board. And we will be making it available as a download as well. So keep in touch with us through abookofinsight.com, or you can visit us on Facebook, either Tina Fiorda or Tilde Cameron. We also have a Facebook page for A Book of Insight, and you can just go on Facebook and like our page and keep up with our updates.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you both for joining us here on Alchemy of Light. And we've been sharing this hour with Tilde Cameron and Tina Fiorda, who have channeled a fantastic book I can't recommend enough called A Book of Insight. And Jim Graham, your host, thanking you all for tuning in and wishing you all a lovely everything. And do take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for having us on your show. And much love and peace to you and all your listeners. Thank you.
Thanks.